Can say good morning to Ryan Lewis. Good morning.
Good morning, Carol. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. And Carol Hollingsworth, how are you doing?
I am fine. And yourself?
Y'all are becoming like family in here. Just every Wednesday now.
Definitely.
If y'all don't show up, I don't know what will happen.
Oh, Lord, you just miss us and call us. Where are you? How are you doing?
Correct. That's right. So today, what are we chatting about? What are we looking at?
Well, just like the jingle said, mental health is a human right. Mm-hmm. And last week, coming on to the end of our session, you read a message mm-hmm. from one of your viewers, listeners, mm-hmm. About their concern and their experiences. So today, I just want to take a moment to go through some of the fundamental rights of the client that has a mental health issue. And a lot of times there's a misperception that once you have a mental illness that you're stricken from all your rights, and that is untrue. Mm. All right, so I just want to go through briefly some of them, and then we can probably start to discuss them. I know sometimes 15 minutes run very quickly,
very.
Right, so it'll be as summative as possible. So the rights of the mentally ill client is crucial to ensure that their well-being, dignity, and autonomy are respected. So some of the rights are, as with any normal person, is the right to dignity and respect, to be treated as an individual. A person, regardless of your mental health status, that you have the right to be treated with dignity, respect in all aspects of your care, from that initial point of interaction throughout to when we say, okay, you're discharged, mm-hmm. right? So there's also the right to inform consent. So we assert to explain things to persons in their language that is easily understood mm-hmm. to both them and their support system as well. In some cases, the individual themselves that have the mental health issue may not understand, but the person that is supporting them or proxying in terms of the decision making, we will explain to them in finest detail what the expectations are, the treatment options that are available, and they have a say in the course of the treatment of the person mm-hmm. themselves. Mm-hmm. It's also subject to the right to privacy and confidentiality. So all information that is shared with us, obviously we have to keep in the strictest of confidence, except in certain circumstances where legal parameters may indicate. So if persons may be sent from the court, there's certain information that has been revealed that we have a legal
requested from the court, right. so you have to share that
make
the decision,
right? And that again would be shared with the relatives and the client why we have to do that, and it would be explained. Mm-hmm. They also have the right to refuse treatment. And it may seem like a bit of an oxymoron, but refusing treatment is not like a one-way street. Is that you're given your options, and you can maybe choose a best option. Sometimes you may say you don't want none of the options. Mm-hmm. And depending on your behavioral presentation, we may delay the indication for treatment and give the person may say they want to try alternative options. They may want to try another method. And we give them the possibility to explore that option as well. Mm-hmm. Right? And again, that is unless the person poses a risk to themselves or to an environment where safety becomes a challenge in check, like they want to self-harm or harm somebody else. If that is not the case, then we mm-hmm. allow the person to explore that option as well.
Because mm-hmm. you might hear cases where people say, well, I send them there or I took them there, and they send them out, they don't give them it. But if the person you, based on treating them, you know that they know what is happening and they can make an informed decision as adults. And they say no.
Exactly. And they have insight. They understand what you're saying. So it's not like as if some person's got this almost like a worst case scenario understanding where persons have mental illness that they don't understand things or that they're not educational, they're not intellectually capacitated, and that is untrue. All right, so we have to give persons the options of understanding, give them the benefit of the doubt that they have been explained to all the possibilities of care, and they can choose which one that befits them. Because mm-hmm. you have to look at the person from their spiritual context as well. You have to look at it from their social backgrounds. Maybe they may have a history that certain medications may be posing. They may be more sensitive to this particular type of medications. So there are other things that we have, and other factors that we have to consider. So it's not a direct, oh, you're mentally ill, you're admitted on certain medication. Mm-hmm. It's not that at all. the right to access care, or the right to be subjected to the least restrictive treatments. So not everybody that presents to our assessment unit has to be admitted just because they have a mental illness. Persons can manage their symptoms as well. And that management can occur in the home setting. Our aim, our mission, our vision is to maintain persons in their communities, in their schools, at work, and keep them functioning optimally well. As much as medications, yes, is good, sometimes admitting a person can add insult to injury. Mm. For some persons, being admitted is a traumatic event, mm-hmm. right? And because you're separating persons from a comfortable environment, you're separating from their family, and we have to look at maintaining those connective ties with friends, families, and the community that they grew comfortable with. It's only if the person is not functioning to a point where they're either posing harm and threats to other persons, or maybe persons are posing threats to them, yeah. that we would temporarily separate them till we can find a better reallocation for them to be in a safe space, because we want to make sure that they're safe and comfortable as well. Yeah. And again, this would come with communication and explanations, mm-hmm. right to fair treatment and advocacy. Mm-hmm. So we treat persons with equitable treatment. We don't decide, okay, Carol from the Heights, so I'm going to treat you one way, and Carol from the Lows, so I'm going to treat her another way. No, our care is fair and equitable for all persons. The same bed, the same space will be afforded to all persons. We don't have a private care system, mm-hmm. but if that is a possibility, we can explore that through maybe connections, possibly with the private wards at the QEH hospital. Mm-hmm. And if your persons can afford home care, or if they can afford private care, that's an option that they can pursue.
That's an option with the client and their family.
And their family to pursue as well.
Okay.
Right? And lastly, the right to communication and the right to complaint and seek redress. Mm. So if you think that you have been unfairly meted out treatment, if you feel that the admission process has been unfair and unjust and uncalled for, there is a mental health board that you can seek that application expressing your concern, and they will review the admission and so on. Expert witnesses can come and review the case and say, well, given the circumstance, this may or may not be the best option of care that we will provide. This may not be the next steps that should have been taken. And they can opt to either discharge the person or have some kind of recourse for the person as
but
well.
But it shouldn't just be, I feel like I get unfair.
Right.
You have to come with some facts.
So why facts this and objectivity as well.
All right. So, Carol, having heard all about that, the rights of the clients, patients, your thoughts on some of the things that you would have heard. And going through, sometimes you have your moments. You have your moments where everything is going pretty good, and then there may be moments where you have to reach out for care. Your thoughts?
I have to be devil's advocate in this situation.
I'm sure they ran you with you.
Right? Because as much as Ryan may have laid out the rights that we may have, there are still some persons within the institution who need to be reminded of those rights. And I'm not being devil's advocate just because I want to be, because of some experiences that I obviously would have had and other persons out there as well. So I don't want them to think that we are painting this like pretty rainbow and it's all seashells and, you know,
life doesn't work that way.
Exactly. Right. So I basically want to be realistic and say it's glad to know that those rights are there.
Right.
Right. And it's glad to know that a change is being made. But at the same time, you still kind of have to fit and break what people would have known from before. Mm-hmm. Yes, it will be hard. And yes, it will be challenging. But at least it's some way forward as well. Because I just like how Ryan Owling, that you can have a traumatic experience. I have PTSD from probably my very first admission going down there, based on some of the nurses and how they would have handled the situation. And then everybody's situation is different. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a situation where you feel like nobody's listening to you because you are a mental health patient and you are in an institution, then you kind of feel a little too full. And I didn't even know about that mental health board that he just mentioned. But I know now, right? But at the same time, like I said, I just wanted to highlight that it's all well and good to have the rights, but at the same time, they still need to be respected and enforced.
I like that. Because with everything, you need balance. You can't improve unless you have all sides or another side of the story so that steps can be made to improve what needs to be improved and keep what is good, maintain it.
Exactly.
As a patient, what would you, not as a patient, as a client, because you're not, your patient is somebody who's actually in at the time and stuff like that. But as someone who sometimes needs that care, what would you say to someone who's a bit afraid, but they know they need care?
Well, in overcoming that fear, it's best to reach out to the best person that you feel comfortable with. Because in you feeling comfort in that person will give you some sort of faith or belief that everything will be okay, even though in that moment you aren't. I could wholly and solely understand fear, because outside of thinking that you need help, you might be thinking, oh shoot, I can't take time off of work because I got bills
and all
to
of those
pay.
Stressors that add to it.
Exactly. So you just need someone to walk you through that part in order to realize that in order for you to be a better you, this is something that you need to do as well.
I'm just loving this program. We're learning so much, Ryan. We really
definitely
are.
And we want persons to understand that mental health care, just like any other thing else in your life, is a responsibility of duality. Don't just take what we see as the professionals for granted. There is the Mental Health Act, is in Cap 45 of the Barbados Constitution, and you can find everything that relates to the admission process, the legal ramifications, the redress, how you go about certain things, and be informed. A lot of times we respond out of ignorance, and that perpetuates the fear, it perpetuates the stigma, it perpetuates the discrimination, and that lack of understanding, we in turn sometimes spread misinformation. So yes, hold us accountable. We are not perfect, but sometimes we do things with good intent. Sometimes the outcome may not be what we want. It may not be sometimes in full tandem with the law, but it is not a set out to just cause harm and cause what some of the experiences that have occurred. So yes, hold us accountable, ask us some questions, don't take what we say for granted. And we will obviously strive to do better. We constantly review what we do. The Mental Health Act currently is under review. And there are a lot of things, a lot of changes that are going to be coming about that will be communicated to the public and is in the benefit of the client. Right? So we want persons to understand that. I know that we are not trying to harm anybody, that we are here to help, but you have a responsibility for your own knowledge and well-being as well.
I have a good friend of mine who messaged, you know, I have mental health issues, and one of the mistakes I made was having someone with me who really didn't have an understanding of anything that was going on, so that caused even more problems. I have since, there's now two people that if I am having any episode, they go with me and they're able to ask the right questions as well as communicate with staff on my behalf. And the PSD I had, was because I had somebody who was so afraid that they were more accusatory than anything else with the staff. But now I have two people who support me.
And that is, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, a happy end all.
Yeah, happy end, definitely.
Well, look at the time. We're done.
Just like that.
I hope you'll be back. We could talk about this for
years to come.
Yes.
You know, we're going to have a Mental Health show. So I'm going to work on that. And I think this would be one of the best platforms with you, Carol. So,
oh, bless you.
I'm going to work on that.
What? Carol, come on.
Yes, Carol.
Thank you so much, Ryan Lewis and Carol Hollingsworth. And this segment, Check My Bias, was brought to you with the compliments of the Barbados Psychiatric Hospital.
Stigma hurts. It undermines mental health and prevents individuals from seeking the help they need. Let us be allies in the fight against stigma. Let's check my bias and let's stand together for mental health. A message from the Barbados Psychiatric Hospital, the Ministry of Health and Wellness Barbados, and the Barbados Government Information Service.